Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. Two things to get to tonight. We will start with baseball. Their run in Hoover was more of a quick walk around the block. It was over before 2 o'clock on Tuesday, but Ole Miss gets eliminated. Did it change anything about their postseason? Probably not, but there's been a lot of reaction to what happened today in Hoover. And then the anonymous SEC coaches thing came out from Athlon. They do it every year. And they had some, I think, in terms of the anonymous SEC coaches, some of these are super bland. Some of them are a little spicy. One person with Silverfield at Arkansas said he thinks he took the wrong Power Four job at the wrong time. Good stuff about Ole Miss. A fair question and then a commentary about Trinidad Chambliss. So we will get to that as well on this edition of the show. I really appreciate you guys being here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, comment, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. I would very much appreciate that. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They've got everything you need literally under one gigantic roof. Also, their boots, their clothes selection's awesome. Their fishing selection's awesome. Cheapest beer in town, anything for home improvement, garden, and then the good stuff, the John Deere's. Through August 4th, if you want a John Deere, basically anything, they've got you at 0% financing, 36 months on all commercial mowers, 0% for 72 months for the compact tractors, the 5 Series tractors for 84 months at 0%, zero turns, you guess it, 0% for 36 months. And if you want a gator for your hunting property or just your land, 1.9% for 36 months. They've got the best deals for you, the best financing, the best everything under one roof for farm, lawn, and garden. It's in the name, at Scruggs. Go check them out. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. And when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. So I'll start with baseball. Just kind of get it out of the way. I don't like changing how you think about something with the benefit of hindsight. Going into the game, if you think that a decision that was made that you know about anyway, going into the game was the right one, don't change it because it ultimately didn't work out. And to be honest with you, it doesn't really apply here anyway, because I did see some, well, they shouldn't have thrown Will Libert today. Well, he wasn't the problem. He goes, what, 4 complete in 2 runs. Everybody would have taken 4 complete in 2 runs out of Will Libert today. He wasn't necessarily the issue. And I'm not going to change the stance going into it either, from a win and it doesn't really help you. They need to go win like 2 more after that to give themselves the opportunity to be in the hosting conversation, and lose and it really doesn't hurt you that much, if at all. You're going from a 2 seed to a 2 seed. Said that going in, not going to change that now. They went from a 2 seed to a 2 seed. So when it comes to postseason, nothing changed. And so you didn't have to force Elliott on a day shorter rest to pitch in this game, knowing that a loss doesn't really knock you off at all. I also say all the time, though, that it's easy to say things before they happen. It's easy for Lane Kiffin to tell LSU fans to be patient, and it's easy to talk about expectations in year one and stuff like that when the losses haven't happened yet. It's easy for people to be like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, rebuild it. It's a building year. It's year one. It's fine. No big deal. And then you go 8-4. Well, that third and fourth loss is going to really make a lot of people mad. Similar concept is happening here. Going into the series, everybody was like, yeah, you know, if they lose I mean, it doesn't really hurt them that much. They're going from a 2 to a 2. And that's true. And then you watch it happen. And then you watch Missouri beat Ole Miss and get their first SEC tournament win for the first time in 9 years. Score the most runs they've scored in a conference game all season long. That changes the reaction to it a little bit. There's no doubt about it. What I'll say is this. Today was another example of that this team's consistency or lack thereof is why they don't deserve to host. This team does not deserve a they have had and put themselves into so many opportunities to get wins throughout the season in the Mississippi State series, in the Georgia series, in the Arkansas series. There's been chances for this team to not have been in the position they were in this week to have to win multiple games to host, where it was just basically a guarantee. They played themselves out of that. And that's an incredibly frustrating thing, to be honest with you, because you saw it again today. Now, I don't necessarily want to pick on an individual player, but you saw it. Tie game in the eighth, and Missouri's got a runner on, and there's just a single through the right side, and whether it be lack of focus or even just like a screw-up, but a basic fielding error allows Missouri to go from first to third and score the go-ahead run in a tie game, in a game in which you know you have to win if you want to play postseason baseball on your home field. And so whether it was just a screw-up at maximum effort, it didn't look like it, but if it was, it's indicative of a team that was not sharp enough at times this season in order to, you know, the margins for error are so razor thin with the schedule that they played. It's either that at best or at worst, a lack of focus and attention to detail in a game that you had to win in order to host on your home field. And they did that time and time again. Game one against Alabama, that happened. You had the base running error where there was a miscommunication. Then you have the pimping the non-home run and then getting thrown out at second base as a result of just mental mistakes. This team, Mike Bianco, on an interview with me on the radio show, described those kind of things that team did at points this year as stupid. They did stupid baseball things at times this year, and I think today was another example of that, and it cost them the opportunity to host. So ultimately, how this team and how the season's going to be defined is not by the regular season. It's by what happens next in the postseason. Can they get out of a regional? Can they make some noise? They certainly have the pitching that can do it. At times, they have an inconsistent offense, but man, when it's on, it's really on, and it looks really impressive and daunting. I do know as a 2 seed somewhere, whoever the one is going to be really mad that they've got Taylor Rabe coming up as the starting pitcher in game two, the possibility of that anyway. I wouldn't love to see that. So the season's not over. That they still can go with the right draw, and if they just stop shooting themselves in the foot, they can go win a regional. This team is talented enough to do that. It is frustrating, though, to sit back and see this team all season. They had opportunities to be better than they were. They didn't reach their ceiling, and maybe it all evened out, right? Because without a Judd Uttermark home run in Gainesville, when they didn't score for, what was it, 16 consecutive innings? I don't remember that far back. But without that, then who knows what kind of conversation we're having right now. So they've gotten – maybe it has balanced out. Maybe it's gotten even. But this team didn't reach their ceiling, and a lot of it was self-inflicted. And Missouri is just awful. And so it's easy to say going into it, a loss doesn't hurt you, until you see them lose to Missouri. And so I understand the reaction that it got today. It's just not over yet. And this team is certainly capable of making some noise. I'm not confident in saying that they're going to go do that. They're just not consistent enough. And in their own coach's words, they do stupid things at times, not a great fielding team, They strike out way too much. What was their strikeout number today? Hold on. 14 strikeouts for Ole Miss's hitters today, and just not a pretty sight. Is it the end of the world? No. Is one game in Hoover going to define a season? Absolutely not. Are they capable of making some noise next week? They certainly are. But today was ugly, and at times it's been really ugly for this team. And that's okay to say, too. Regardless of what their NIL situation is, which it's not the best in the conference, but it's certainly not the worst. And they did not get maximized this season. And that's a frustrating thing because they have the potential to be much better. We'll see if they can actually pull that off and become that. Again, we'll see. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Anywhere in Mississippi, if you need auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, give Logan Smith and his team a call at 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, it's worth a five-minute phone call, right? What's it going to hurt? Probably nothing at all. And you'll get good service. You'll probably get a quote that you're going to love as well. So check him out, Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500, and tell him that it was me that sent you there. All right. I'll actually read some of your comments first and then get to football. How about that? Because all of them are about baseball. So we'll transition that way. Saw you out there pitching for Missouri today. Yeah, somebody, a member of our radio audience texted that picture in. And I mean, that guy kind of does look like me. What's funny is that losing either today or tomorrow was going to make everyone mad regardless, but today was bad. They just played terrible, mainly in the pen. Libert was actually their best guy. Yeah, and you know, sometimes that does happen, right? I didn't expect Robertson and Waters to be what they were today. So that certainly did not help. But you know, the offense did show up. They had a good day at the plate, and it didn't matter because you gave up 10 runs to Missouri. That's tough, man. It's an ugly watch when it's an opponent that's as bad as that one is. And it's not just one game. That's another thing. It's just one game. No, it's not. It's the things that have plagued this team all season long. Frankly, it's what got them eliminated from the postseason last season. And for the 2 years following the national championship, they were among the worst fielding teams in the SEC. At the bottom in each of the 2 years following the national championship. So this is a multi-year problem. They're not sharp enough. They're not sharp enough right now. And you know, we'll see if they can overcome that, but season's not over and you can't grade it out fully yet, but for the regular season SEC tournament, I'm thinking around a B minus. Is that fair? I think they slightly underachieved not hosting. I mean, you can be C plus, maybe B minus, C plus. I mean, they weren't bad. Frustrating, but not bad. We're in the hosting conversation until the very end of the season. But then there's the two big missed evaluations. Those hurt. And then the stuff, the blowing opportunities. This team ceiling is higher than where they reached. Man, you know, that happens. That's a lot of teams out there. And again, there's a lot of games where Ole Miss came away thinking that they stole one. So maybe the scale is completely balanced out. But somewhere around there, I think, is fine. Don't want to get you off in the weeds, but I have to ask about LSU and Will Wade's recruiting strategy and if it will actually work. You know, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? He's only doing what he feels necessary in order to win. He gets paid millions of dollars to win, not to make Jeff Goodman happy, right? He's building probably the most unethical roster in college basketball history, but it's not his job to be ethical. It's his job to win games. I don't fault him for that. I do think a lot of people that had opinions about getting some friendly local judges to help them out are going to have to either A, piss off their audience by standing on business, or B, be hypocritical, because LSU is going to have to fire up the friendly judge brigade to get a player or two eligible this year.
say Ole Miss played this baseball game to lose. And then, again, I don't think the Liberatt decision is that at all. And he pitched fine. I don't understand if you were going to give Hooks, you know, the last two innings, what's the difference between five outs and six outs? I don't understand that. That's the one thing that I really scratched my head on is if you were going to give him, if he was going to see the eighth inning, then why don't you just give him the whole eighth inning? That was odd. I don't think they necessarily played to lose. I just think they're not consistent enough. Eight runs by the offense was perfectly good enough. If you'd have told me they're going to score eight runs today, I'd have told you they'd have won. Don't understand why the first challenge spooked Folly so bad. I think a few of those pitches would have went. Yeah, and that's another thing. They didn't. There was a couple of times where they could have challenged, and not the balls and strikes, but challenged, cost them a run early, I think. And then, it's almost like Folly getting the first one wrong scared him away from trying it again, because there was a few times, especially when you saw the expanded zone that they're forced to use with this, calls are wrong, and Ole Miss should have challenged, especially later in the game when you've got two of them left. You got to use them. I mean, you can't trade them in for runs at the end of a game. So, only decision had an issue with was not bringing in Hooks to start the seventh. Yeah. By the way, the ABS system sucks in almost 4-hour baseball game. Well, it was in almost 4-hour baseball game because there were 18 runs scored in the game. It wasn't ABS. The problem with the ABS was not the function. It functioned beautifully. It was the fact that the NCAA and whatever initiative they're doing with umpiring, they expanded the strike zone outside of what is actually the strike zone. Kudos to Missouri's catcher. He was awesome at understanding what the strike zone was supposed to be. Great feel for that. But there were a handful of pitches today that aren't strikes, and you have highly trained hitters that can identify balls and strikes, and they're getting punished for correctly viewing a ball out of the zone because they expanded the zone beyond the plate and too high into it. That was what was wrong with it. It functioned great. The zone size is preposterous. Think they're going to lose a regional final and likely go 2-2. I think I would bet on that right now. As up and down as this team has been, it's better off them being on the road. Swayze would have been too tight if it were at home. I mean, probably would have been an angsty environment. But we got a couple of texts about that on the radio show today that, oh, well, they're better in road regionals anyway. That's just a made-up thing. They're not better in road regionals than they are at home. It's not close. Their defense in the field continues to be bad at critical times. Absolutely. Just for historical background, they're 1-7 in road regionals and 7-4 in home ones under Bianco. There you go. Love Mike, but if they go 0-2 or 1-2 in a regional, do they get rid of him? I would say no. I could be wrong. I think it's a dollars and cents situation. And quite frankly, the baseball team's going to make money again this year. And so there's still a buyout, and they sold out season tickets, and the program's going to make money again. They're going to sell out season tickets again next year. It's right now, financially, it's hard to justify that decision, and you can criticize getting into a situation where there is still a buyout that is seven figures. When the program makes money, until the buyout gets really cheap or the program stops making money, maybe I'm wrong. I think this is what you're going to get. Don't think this team can win a regional without starting 2-0. I don't think so either, but I think they can start 2-0 without a doubt. What are the chances State and Southern get national seeds? One of them can get one. I think State's too far gone. They might have to win the SEC, and by then the field's decided. So I think Southern Miss can. I don't know if State actually can or will. In your opinion, they should have hosted, but to meet your kind of expectation, they just need to win a regional. 4 years in a row with no super should be unacceptable. Yeah, look, if they get to a super regional, this season is like, yeah, fine. That's fine. A totally acceptable result, to be honest with you. So if they get there, then fine. 4 years in a row without a super regional following the national championship that's tough. Schedule being number one in the SEC gives a little leeway for being harsh on them, but they should have been at least 16 and 14 at least. What's up? Good to see you. A lot of those balls that got overturned to strikes weren't even close. They were not. Folly, ironically, got it the worst at the plate. He really did. Well, it was three of them, right? Or there was at least two. Can we get you and Hayden to do a live selection show reaction on YouTube? I'll do one better. We're going to be live on Monday on the radio. We are not. The company's taking the day off. We are not. So what that might mean, by the way, guys, we're not going to go live Sunday night. Just go ahead and put that out there. We're not going to go live Sunday night. We will go live Monday night is what we'll do. So just go ahead and keep that on the back burner. But yeah, we'll be live on the radio that day. No days off for us. Are you surprised State's starting their ace? I am, actually. I would assume he's going to be on a pitch count. If they don't make a super for 5 years in a row or miss the tournament next season, that's when you can question about moving on. Yeah, probably more. Makes more sense from a dollars and cents perspective. So, anyway, that's baseball. 22 minutes of it. Let's talk football. anonymous SEC coaches. Talked about Pete Golding in Ole Miss. We'll do that after I tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. Local loan servicing and decision-making, so it's somebody that you sit down with face-to-face and get to know. Great online banking and more. Check them out at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you tell them that I sent you, you get a complimentary office technology assessment. No, we don't get off on Memorial Day because of this. If this wasn't a state that cared so much about baseball, we would take the day off like the rest of the what the heck? There we go. Okay. Lost my camera for a second, but yeah, we would take the day off. But because it is the selection day and because Mississippi cares so much about college baseball, we got to be live. So it is what it is, as they say. All right. Athlon does it every single year. The anonymous SEC coaches give quotes on other SEC teams. I often have rolled my eyes at this a little bit just because are these head coaches? Are these staff members? Are these GAs? Who is this? Who are these anonymous SEC coaches that are talking? But still, sometimes you get good stuff. Sometimes you get, you know, milquetoast, and then sometimes you get this. I think pretty substantive when it comes to Ole Miss. Or at least I think so. Tell me what you guys think. All right, here's what they say about Ole Miss. Quote, in those three games that he coached last year, Pete Golding was Pete Golding. He was himself. He naturally transitioned into his role while staying the same dude. That's going to be the challenge. Can he continue to rely on all the things that have made him a big-time ball coach? Or is he going to try to be the anti-Lane? A lot of people in Oxford want him to be the anti-Lane, but he just needs to be Pete Golding. It's very fair. And it's a very fair question and a fair thing to wonder. Because you've seen in this state in the past, a coach take over, defensive coordinator take over, different circumstances, different people, but you saw it. And it was a coach that was very uncomfortable with his new role and felt like had to change everything. Or at least that's what it looked like, and that's what it felt like. The early returns, now we'll see what actually happens when the season comes, right? But the early returns on this concept of Pete Golding not changing everything for the sake of changing everything and being the anti-Lane. So far, you should really like what you've heard from Pete Golding when it comes to this specific thing, because he has said multiple times out in the open, not going to change what worked. And that's such a great mindset, because despite Lane Kiffin doing what he did at the end and is still doing even into the month of May, a lot of football games were won and a lot of things worked. And Pete Golding obviously had a front row seat to that because he was heavily, heavily, heavily involved in the process that led to winning. So instead of completely changing like their offensive philosophy, he went out and hired somebody that is from the coaching tree that worked under Kiffin, that runs a very similar offense, because in his own words, it works. Why go away from what works? And I mean, even things like interviews and press conferences and stuff like that, he seems very comfortable with the decisions he makes, with the program he's running, and it doesn't feel like a guy that is uncomfortable, that doesn't know what he's doing, that's swimming, that is unprepared. And yes, there are people that want him to be the anti-Lane and are going to look at everything that Pete Golding does and will, oh, wow, he's not Lane. Lane would have done this. How much better is Pete than Lane? He's not doing that on purpose. He is seemingly being himself, but he has been there and it has worked and he knows what works, and he's coached under Saban and he's got a staff filled with former coaches and super experienced guys, and that the program is being made in his image while not going away from the things that work for the sake of going away from the things that worked. It's a great balance so far anyway. This is Pete Golding's program, but it's a continuation of what's been working at Ole Miss over the last 6 years. Should be really comforting, the messaging, the way it feels, the way it looks, the way it sounds out of Ole Miss football right now. So legitimate question, fair concern. I think you should like the answer so far anyway. All right, the other thing, Trinidad Chambliss is absolutely the top returning quarterback in the country. In the country is what they say. That's big praise. He's a winner. He's got a feel for the game. He's got presence. He looks like he's got tremendous leadership skills. But can that defense be improved enough to let the growth happen offensively without Charlie Weiss Jr.? Another fair question. We won't know what the defense is going to look like yet. A lot of new faces. I will say, as you guys already know, I think it's abundantly clear that they had more money or more resources to build a more talented defense this offseason than the offseason prior. There are a lot of rumors about that. I cannot independently verify that that's true. I think the proof is in the quality of player that they were able to sign out of the portal. And then also, I mean, Will Eccles, goodness, I imagine he was expensive, and Franklin was expensive. And I mean, all of those guys were Centurion Perkins, et cetera. So they went out and they got elite portal players and they retained their elite players on defense. That they spent more, that they had more allocated to that side of the ball. I would expect I know the talent ceiling has been raised. I think that the floor of that defense has been raised as well. And as you hear me say all the time, a quarterback like Trinidad Chambliss, the things that he did in their run to the playoff transcends scheme. He does things that you can't play call what he does at times. It's hard to screw up a player like that. So anyway, good stuff there. Really good stuff there, I think. Cole Kublik has been very high on Ole Miss this offseason. You know, I know a lot of you don't like him because of what happened at Arkansas. I do defend him on that. He was not the one that was talking about bringing Dart to Arkansas. That was all Rogers. That was the other guys. We had an interview with him on the radio show and brought it up, and he was like, go back and listen and tell me when I said that not only Auburn was a better job, but he's going to take this guy. And I took him at his challenge, and I went back, and Kubelik himself did not make those insinuations for whatever it's worth. If you go back and listen, it was the other guys on the broadcast. It was not him specifically. And he's a ball knower. He studies relentlessly. Even if you disagree with some things that he said, you know, in the past or even in the present, he doesn't, I don't think he fluffs, you know. Pete looked comfortable coaching in those three games last year. So far, the offseason has looked great. Really excited this Louisville game will test them early. Absolutely. Where does the football team in Golding stand? Trouble or not? Trouble in what way? Like NCAA trouble? Nah. What are we talking about? There's not been a single person that has commented on it in any tangible way that should make you believe that something is actually going to happen. But we'll see. The likelihood of the defense being strong this season is a really important balance for John David Baker taking over on the other side. Maybe some transition oddities, but shouldn't be an overhaul. Yeah, as we played, you know, roughly 80% the same, they said. A lot of similar concepts, a lot of things that they're going to be familiar with. It's a really good offense, clearly, after what happened the last couple of years at East Carolina. So, I mean, I think Chambliss is better than Dante Moore and Arch Manning, at least right now, and definitely better than Sam Leavitt, who I keep seeing in the top 3 to 5 SEC quarterback lists. There's one reason he's appearing on those, and it's not anything that he's actually done on the field. What Trinidad does at times is just instinct and so natural. Love watching him play. Give me football season ASAP. Well, I hate to tell you. Wait a minute. Okay, we are, as of Thursday, 100 days away from week zero. On Thursday, we're 100 days away from week zero. And yeah, you're exactly right. The idea that Charlie and Lane developed Trinidad cracks me up so bad. There's no developing that can happen for a guy that joins your team in the summer. He showed up the way he was. Now, I'm not saying they're not great play callers. I'm not doing that crap. Of course they are. Obviously, they proved it, right? They're great play callers. But Trinidad showed up like that. And as I've said to you guys before, I did not pay enough attention to the stuff that was coming out of the scrimmages. You guys remember, it was, yeah, Simmons did this, or Simmons had a couple of picks, but he had a nice play here. By the way, this Chambliss kid, he lit it up today. Every scrimmage, you had the same concept of, this Chambliss guy, he might have a role on this team. Like, he's really performing. He showed up like that. He wasn't developed at Ole Miss. He showed up who he was the second he got to campus. And there's a lot of things about his game that you can't coach. You can mold character, I suppose, but the processing, the escapability, the athleticism, the not being rattled, like that's all mental stuff. And that doesn't happen in a couple of months of coaching. That's somebody being built for that. And that just doesn't disappear when a play caller disappears either. The poise, the decision-making, the escapability, the athleticism, the maturity, that doesn't go away. That's not a play caller making that happen. That's an individual making that happen. So I've never been more confident in a quarterback despite having a new play caller than I am this one. He's just there's too much that you can't screw up with him. Offense, mainly the offensive line is obvious, but I want to see the defensive line against Louisville and mainly LSU for sure. We'll know a lot there. And it's not the starters, right? We know what Echols can do. I would like to see Franklin take another step forward personally. No, it's the backups. It's the rotation guys. I want to see them have 7 or 8 playable guys up front. That's the thing. Trinidad took over both games against Georgia and Miami in the second half. The second game, he just ran out of time. Absolutely. Deep ball mainly down the sidelines was something that was way better than expected. Yeah, for sure. And his arm strength is, you know, he didn't have the strongest arm in the world, but man, timing and accuracy. Anyone that thinks that Kiffin or Weiss had as much to do with Trinidad's success as Joe Judge is delusional. And see, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just being like hot take guy or whatever, but like I wouldn't even say that Joe Judge developed him either. I think he showed up like this. And Joe Judge is a major credit to why he stayed. And he did improve. And like, you know, his fourth quarter in the Georgia game, he was awful. And then the next week, same spot, was awesome. But I'm not even giving quote unquote credit to Joe Judge for quote unquote developing him. I keep saying this. I'm very repetitive. I'm sorry. It's a big problem of mine. But I think he showed up like that. That Ferris State program is pretty legit, but he's special. He's just special. So anyway, we'll be back live on Thursday. And then again, not Sunday. We'll be live on, Monday night, because that's when the selection day is. So, thank you guys, as always. Really appreciate you being here. And I will see you on Thursday at 9. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.